Let's take God's Word now and turn to the book of James. And James in chapter 1, James is the next book, and so we'll read James. In James chapter 1, we'll be reading this evening verses 1 through 27. James 1, verses 1 through 27. These, beloved, are the words of God, so give your full attention to them. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Those are the words of the Lord. And this letter is written to a mostly Jewish people in the church. If you remember when we were in the book of Acts, we spoke of how the Jews had been scattered by persecution, and here the 12 tribes, that is, of the church of Jesus Christ, had been scattered by persecution. And yet, in all it is to the church as a whole, and it's to the church today, the letter opens immediately with counsel as to when Christians are suffering, which is exactly what they needed to hear, because they had been scattered through suffering. They are counseled with this: to count it all joy for the suffering they endure, because God is working it for good in their life to sanctify them. And so it is with us when we suffer. God is working it in our good, for our good, to sanctify us. Oftentimes in suffering, we'll lack wisdom. What to do? What to say? And so he, verse 5 says, pray to the Lord and ask for it. And then we're taught about prayer, to pray in faith. For asking that the Lord would grant us wisdom, we ought to pray in faith that He'll grant it because He wants us to have wisdom. We know that from the rest of the Scriptures. That God is not a God who does not want us to be wise, but He wants us to be wise, and so He will grant it. And so we ought to pray in faith, not doubting, or being one of those who are tossed to and fro by the winds on the sea. Knowing that, then, in all suffering, suffering will end with great reward for the children of God, the crown of glory. And then through verse 18, the subject of temptation is addressed with an encouraging word at the beginning of verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive that crown of life we talked about just a moment ago. Blessed are you when you endure temptation and you close your heart to the evil one and temptations, and it brings forth continued righteousness. So we're here, taught here also then, as he keeps going, about temptation and what the effects of temptation is if you give into it. But if you open the door of your heart and allow temptation to come in, which is what your lusts, your desires want, then that will result in sin. And sin leads to death. And it's not as though the Lord is the author of sin. He is not at all. He cannot be tempted nor be the tempter. But He is, what it says here, is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And the giver of every good and perfect gift does not tempt and bring about evil. God is not the author of sin, nor is He the one who tempts. The rest of the passage warns us about anger against all sorts of wickedness which ought to be put to death. And rather that the Word of God should be made our chief study. And what we hear and know of it, when we take great care to learn to practice the Word, we are blessed. Otherwise, our faith will prove a vain thing, he says. Beloved, let us then put off the lusts of the flesh and put on the deeds of the Spirit we have in Christ Jesus alone. Let us count suffering a joy, not a hindrance, and thank Christ every time we do suffer, remembering His suffering for us and we following in His steps. Let's pray. My gracious Father, thank You in Christ Your Son, who has suffered for us, even to the point of death, death on a cross. We're thankful that He is on the throne, and that when we pray, our prayers are answered with the yes and amen according to the will of God, because Christ pleads and perfects our prayers. And so, Father, if we pray for wisdom, we know You'll give it. If we pray that You'll help us and strengthen us to endure the suffering we encounter, that then You will give us strength to endure the suffering that we encounter. Because we know that You will bring us to glory, even our bodies at the right time. And You'll give us new glorified bodies. Father, help us not only to be hearers of the Word today, but go forth from here and be doers of the Word, believing what You say in faith, but also obeying You in all things. Father, today we pray and ask for Your help, because You command us to pray in the assembly for our governing authorities. Father, even as we'll learn a little bit more about governing authorities this evening and what they ought to be through the example of David, Father, we ask for Your hand to be upon them, that they would rule according to Your word and love You and bow the knee to Christ, that they would be saved from their evil and wickedness and self-righteousness and selfish motives. Father, give us godly leaders, not because our nation deserves it, but because otherwise we will be judged and our nation will come to ruin. And Father, it is no different than the gospel and the salvation that we need. We need you to save us from our sins. Otherwise we fall and we will be judged forever in body and soul. And so, Father, we pray for kings and rulers all in authority over us, whom you put on the throne and you put on in their office. And we know and acknowledge that Christ is head and king over all of them. And so, Father, give him your strength. Give our governing rulers that strength and help them, Father, to see the light of your marvelous grace. And Father, we praise you again for the gospel that goes forth. We pray for those who evangelize, which ought to be all of us, in our different places, in our homes, amongst our extended families, even as we had the opportunity this last week, and perhaps and also in our friends and neighbors, but also in our community. Wherever we go, we pray that we will be, as we sang earlier, of being those who declare your works to all nations. And may we praise your name before all, just as David does this evening in 1 Chronicles at the end of his life. Before all the leaders of Israel, he praises your name. May we praise your name before the peoples. May people hear. May people see our good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. Father, in our worship now as we continue, may you be glorified and praised and exalted. May you care for the little ones. May they sing with great joy, as we all sing, and hear with ears to hear, that you would send your Spirit and change their hearts, any here who do not know you, that they would be saved from their sins. Father, you are the builder of the church, and we give you praise for building your church. Father, do so even through our children, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.